We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Paul and Jordana, DJ, Dave Josephson producing today. And, of course, that's the Eagles, Hotel California. One of our winners, one of our number one winners. And
in our game when I was 18, where we play what was top of the charts when we were 18. Maybe we'll play again tomorrow, boys, now that you're home.
We should. Maybe.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We want to be sensitive to the situation, right? And get as many voices, as many experts on the air, get your voice on the air. You know, what we're all grappling with, all of us, is how do we change the conversation and shift a culture that has enabled, well, systemic racism and abuse of power by some within America's 18,000 different police departments. But I have a hunch, Jordana, there's no going back, that something has flipped. People talk about inflection points. It sure seems like that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
And
for
we
sure.
can't forget, and we won't forget, that we are still in the middle of a pandemic. The cases are going down here in Minnesota, but 22 states have seen their numbers jump back up again in recent days. And so, again, we're sort of doing an experiment here. Florida has seen a 46% increase in new cases in just the last week. 14 states recorded their highest ever 7-day average of new virus cases at the beginning of June. The hardest hit states now: Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, California, Florida, Kentucky, New Mexico, North Carolina, Mississippi, Oregon, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, and Utah. The virus now appears to be burning through many rural areas, in contrast to the beginning, where it started off in the big city centers like Seattle and New York. Dr. Anthony Fauci, again, confident. The good news is he's confident that one of the vaccine candidates will be proven safe and effective by the first quarter of 2021. He said that today. Not sure which one has the best promise. We'll see. Fauci said this virus is his worst nightmare as an epidemiologist. And quote his words, "This thing isn't over just yet." Mm-hmm. And I wanted to just mention Major League Baseball is trying again. 76-game regular season, expanding the playoffs from 10 teams to as many as 16. And players would earn 75% of their prorated salaries. So it's going to be tight if they can really kick off by July 4th. I know that was the goal. The symbolism of having Major League Baseball back for the 4th of July would be, you know, one of many things this country needs right now, right? I mean, some semblance of normalcy. Yeah.
A little bit of healing. A little bit of healing. We could certainly use that. Representative Al Green was at George Floyd's funeral, and Representative Green is the congressperson from the Houston area. He spoke today at the funeral, and I just wanted to share his words at the funeral of George Floyd.
We have a responsibility to not only George Floyd, but to all of those other persons, Breonna Taylor. Yeah, we have a responsibility to each one of them to make sure that we do not walk away today after having celebrated his life and not taken the next step to commemorate and to assure the future generations that this won't happen again. It's time.
You talked about an inflection point, Paul. I don't see how we can go back from here. I just don't see it.
This time really does feel different, and that's not just my opinion. But talking to a lot of experts and a lot of, you know, there have been so many false promises, false starts in the past. But it seems like something broke with George Floyd's death, with his murder. And we're not going back to the old normal, George. We're not going back to the way it was even a few weeks ago.
And we're going to get some questions answered. City Council member Steve Fletcher will be joining us at 5:20. We do want to talk about what defunding the police means. He voted for defunding and dismantling the Minneapolis Police Department. So what does that mean, and where do we go from here? We're going to talk about that with him at 5:20. Make sure you stay tuned for that. And also next, we're going to speak with Jane Kirtley from the Silla Center. How is the media covering this changing? How is the media covering this, I'm going to say, virus of racism? And are there two sides to this? Do we have a responsibility to present another side of racism? Jane Kirtley is going to check the media when we return.
Paul and Jordana, DJ producing. So this great reckoning, some have called it a great awakening on the part of certainly white Americans, understanding what's going on, that racism, the festering problem our country has been dealing with for hundreds of years, is not going away, and maybe this time is different. Is this a tipping point for the media? In recent days, four top editors have resigned their positions over coverage. Is there going to be a reckoning within the business? We have questions. Jor and I, again, we have more questions than answers, but
always.
If a radio station is doing its job, it should be holding up a giant mirror and reflecting in that mirror, reflecting what's really going on. Not only, you know, the bad things, but the good things, and trying to get as many people on the air as possible. Are there two sides to racism? I mean, certainly defunding the police, I could make an argument. Yeah, of course there are two sides to that argument. But when it comes to moral issues, is there another side? I guess it would be immorality. And so how do you cover this? Does it require a pivot or a transformation within the media business? So we wanted to reach out to our favorite local media expert, Dr. Jane Kirtley. She is the Silla Professor, Media Ethics and Law at the University of Minnesota. She joins us on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. Dr. Kirtley, welcome to the show. What do you think of that question? Are there two sides?
I think my answer to that is that there are subjects that are beyond argument. You're not going to publish an op-ed or an opinion piece calling for a return to slavery or to re-outlaw gay marriage or to beat up law-abiding citizens, as Tom Cotton's op-ed seemed to suggest. I think there are things that are beyond the pale. The difficulty that you've identified here is that for many, many years, since the Second World War, so we're talking a long time, there's been this idea that American journalism is supposed to be objective in its presentation of news. The view from nowhere is what some people refer to it as. And now I think we're well and truly asking ourselves whether that kind of neutrality is sustainable, and frankly, is it moral to do that? And to me, it's fascinating to see how the events of the last couple of weeks have brought this issue to the forefront. It's been in the background for some time, but I think now the question is really, should journalism and journalists take moral stands, or should they simply be these, you know, one side is this, the other side is that, and we take no position, you decide?
That's a hard place to be. Paul and I are lucky because we're talk show hosts. We're not journalists anymore. So we get paid for our opinion, and we get to have one. But I understand where the journalists want to remain neutral in this. But, Jane, you've been watching for 2 weeks, I'm sure, actively. How has the media been doing? The media gets blamed for so much. How have they been doing in this coverage? Are you seeing bias? Are you seeing voices not heard? Are you seeing agendas? What do you think?
Well, I think there are a lot of people out there on all sides of these issues who have agendas. But what has been striking to me is how much we've been hearing from voices that really have not been heard, not just here in Minneapolis and the Twin Cities, but all over the country. It's been fascinating to me to see how public opinion, and I'm talking here about kind of the non-minority public opinion, has been shifted radically in a very short period of time to a greater understanding of what people of color face in their confrontations with law enforcement. Yes, we're certainly getting messages from President Trump and his supporters about this idea of law and order. It, for those of us that are old enough to remember, it sounds an awful lot about like what was being said in the late 1960s when protesters were rising up against the war in Vietnam. But I think it's ringing hollow in a way that I don't think it did at that time. So, you know, I think news organizations are obviously struggling to make sure that they're giving an opportunity for all credible sides to be heard. And as soon as I say that, I know that there will be people that will say, oh, that's censorship. You're censoring the opinions you don't agree with. Well, of course, it's not censorship. It's an editorial decision. It's only censorship if the government says you can't do it. I think the key here is that President Trump, his supporters, certainly have a bully pulpit out there to have their point of view heard. The news media, as we've discussed in the past, dutifully report on his Rose Garden speeches and so forth. So that's all being heard. The question is, are the other points of view being heard? And I think they are.
Professor Kirtley, do journalists have any kind of a moral obligation to somehow infuse morality into their coverage? Or if it's just the facts, ma'am, don't preach to me. I think that's one of the questions I have. And also related to that, objectivity. A lot of reporters in newsrooms are not permitted to protest or to march because it may interfere with the idea that you need to be objective. And I think that is creating a lot of backlash in newsrooms all around the country. Yes, you're a reporter, you're a journalist, but you're also a citizen and you're also a human being. Shouldn't reporters have an opportunity to exercise their First Amendment rights?
This is a hugely controversial issue. The New York Times, for example, famously prohibits its reporters from marching or rallying in support of any kind of public cause or movement or to take positions on these issues because they say it will raise doubts about their ability to function as a neutral observer. On the other hand, the other day, Axios, which publishes a lot of newsletters that many Washington insiders read, said, you know, not that they're encouraging their reporters to protest, but basically saying, we support you in exercising your rights to free speech and protest, and if you're arrested, we'll bail you out and we'll support you, which is extraordinary to me.
Yes.
I have not seen anything like this, any time, at least from any, you know, what I would consider a non-advocacy news organization. It's a difficult issue, but here's the thing. I think the word objectivity is probably a word that should be retired. The word I like is independence, and I think the idea here is that if a journalist, because of the views he or she holds, is not able to act independently in reporting, then probably they should not be reporting on that particular topic or that particular issue. Not reporting. Commentary is great. Social media, that depends on the policy of your news organization, but they probably shouldn't be reporting on it, at least not without full disclosure of what might be seen as a conflict of interest.
I know on this show, Jane, I have already changed the way I conduct some interviews. A little more open-ended. You know, as a talk show host, we think, okay, this is what we want to talk about. Come on my show, talk about this, and you sort of drive the conversation. That's our job. But I have already changed the way now in the wake of all of this and in some learning I've done, I'm like, okay, maybe it's more of an open-ended conversation because I don't know what I don't know. So like when I interview somebody from, a Black entrepreneur organization, I ask what challenges there are instead of framing my question in a different way. Do you think what we are experiencing now will fundamentally change the way journalists conduct their jobs?
I think that's a great point because I remember in my former life when I was frequently a guest on shows, I'd get a call from the producer who would say, we're looking for someone who's going to say X. Is that what
right.
you're going to talk about? I think yeah. that sort of thing, and often it was, you know, it wasn't a question
yeah,
of compromising
sure.
myself, but it was just, we're looking for this soundbite, or we're looking
get
for
that.
This point of view, and will you express it?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going by the wayside, because as you said, it cabins the discussion, and it kind of presupposes what the outcome is going to be. What journalism is about is the search for truth, not a narrative that has already been determined in advance. So I agree. I think that's a huge change.
Jane, what can Jordana do specifically to be better?
There's
and,
so
and
much.
What,
the list.
I'm sorry.
The list goes on.
I'm sorry. What can we do? I mean, what can the media do? If you could wave a magic wand, what would you love to see, especially during this period of unprecedented convulsions between the pandemic and the protests and racism? I mean, what can we do better?
Well, it seems counterintuitive, especially in the context of the pandemic, but I'd say get out of your office and get out and talk to people. All the wonderful electronic technology we have is wonderful, but it is also very distancing. And I think if journalists are getting out into the community and interacting with people, I mean, ironically, it's basically the same thing we criticize police for not doing, for not getting out in the community. Mm-hmm. Journalists need to be doing that, too, and seeking out the stories that haven't been told and finding the voices that haven't been heard.
Jane, what did we not ask you that we need to know or our listeners need to know?
Just that this is an evolving situation. It's a fascinating time to be watching journalism or doing journalism. And I hope the public will feel empowered to weigh in with the press when they don't think they're doing their jobs the way they should be.
I hope so, too. I do.
Wow.
Jane Kirtley from the Scylla Center, professor of media ethics and law. Thank you so much. We love talking to you. We learned so much. And thanks for keeping us in check because that's really important now.
Doing the best I can. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
thanks,
professor.
Boy, talk about a person who has to consume so much media.
Yeah.
You know, like I say, we can't turn it off. Yep. I mean, she's watching and listening all the time. She's got a hard job.
So my goal before I die is to be woke. I mean, my kids talk about, hey, Dad, you know, you're not woke. So trying to evolve, trying to improve, we can all improve, and institutions can improve. What can we do? What can the media in general do to do a better job? What should we be doing that we are not doing? Or what should we stop doing right this moment? 651-989-9226. We get your thoughts next.
The question we asked was, how is the media doing? How would you like to see the media change? We are in an era of change for the good, I might add, but that doesn't mean change isn't painful. It's painful for everybody. It requires really looking inside of each one of us because we can't change somebody else. It requires looking inside of each of us and deciding that you want to fix something, deciding you want to be different or act differently than you did the day before. And that's okay. And that's okay. This doesn't mean you're a bad person because you want to change or that you maybe thought a different way or felt a different way. That is okay. So change. So how can the media change for the better? What changes would you like to see in the media? Our phone number is 651-989-9226. Even in this coverage of what is going on right now, we've screwed up. We've done well. We have all of those things have happened. So we want to discuss how you feel the media is doing. What would you like to see different? 651-989-9226. And before we go to calls, I would just like to go back in time for a moment to a time earlier today when our own Paul Douglas was featured on the Dave Lee in the Morning News show. And Dave asked him about the rain. And I believe we're going to have to find this audio. I believe what? Paul described the rain as going to be like a cow falling on a flat rock. And I would like to know what in the world that means.
Well, a cow blanking on a flat rock. And I didn't want to be vulgar, but it's an expression I grew up with in farm country. It means it's really raining hard.
Oh, okay. What? Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
So it's like a cow pooping on a flat rock? Like just...
No,
like
the other stuff.
Like falling. I still don't get it.
Like a real heavy shower.
Oh, I see.
Now, if you have to explain the joke, it's not a joke. It's a flop. So thanks, George.
I didn't even understand it the second time.
Never mind.
You're so
funny. Never mind.
That's why we love you. Uh-huh. 651-989-9226. Bob in Maple Grove, you can save us from ourselves. Hello, Bob.
Hey, Bob. A cow?
Yeah.
Yeah. You haven't heard that expression, Bob? You haven't heard
that? Yeah. No, I've heard them all, and I've never heard about a cow before.
Oh,
that's
so good.
Hey, you know. Hey, I have two things. First of all, the media, I applaud our media. I'm glad we have freedom of the press. If we didn't, a lot of this administration that we have now, a lot of that would never have come out, and we the people would never have heard of the things going on. So I'm glad we have freedom of the press, believe me. And there's a lot of brave people out there writing this information, you know, just keeping us informed. The second thing I just wanted to say is I know it's kind of coming at it at a different perspective, but I think these policemen should be checked out for psychological problems, perhaps. Maybe they've been in a very rough neighborhood and they have, you know, developed attitudes toward other people that they shouldn't have just because they're getting burnt out, or, you know, maybe they've just had a tough time. So I think this might have a lot to do with what occurred here, this policeman murdering this man. The third thing is who determined that this murder was racially motivated? And again, I'm coming at this from a different angle, and perhaps you guys can, discuss this a little bit more. It could be just a cop that's a bad cop and he does this to everybody. But again, this is a horrible thing, and I realize a lot of our how should I say? A lot of people out there driving around when they get pulled over by a policeman are very nervous about it. And I think that's, you know, it's a terrible thing. But I guess that's my feeling. This gentleman probably is a very hardened policeman who has been through a lot. And I can't believe that psychologically they don't keep an eye on them and monitor them so that if they do get to be a little rough, that they can, sometimes psychological counseling or,
yeah,
what I'm
thanks.
Saying.
That's a good point, Bob.
Yeah. And I don't know the answer to that, Jor. I mean, are there ongoing tests, psychological tests that police have to take to maintain their badge? I don't know.
I don't know the answer to that in the MPD. There should be. There absolutely should be. I know that when they are involved in a shooting or involved in a very stressful incident, they do kind of download with a psychologist or a trained professional just to make sure that they're okay, that they're, hopefully won't suffer PTSD, which they might anyway. But I know that Sheriff Hutch, Dave Hutchison, the sheriff of Hennepin County, is extraordinarily proactive about this. He ran on a mental health for his officers platform. And he said, this is the most important taking care of. You can't take care of other people unless you take care of yourself. And addressing mental health issues is top of mind in his office always. They practice mindfulness. They talk to each other. He practices therapy. So I know the sheriff's department is actively practicing this. I cannot speak necessarily to the Minneapolis Police Department. And just to address Bob's other thought, where he said that, you know, who can say that this was racially motivated? First of all, I don't know that anybody said it's racially motivated. I don't think a cop saw a black person on the street and said, I'm going to go murder him because he is black. The fact is, it was a lack of respect for a black man's human life that led to his death. So I don't know that people are up in arms saying it was because he's black he went out of his way to murder him. But the fact is, this has happened over and over and over again. And it's almost as if that if you're committing a crime or even accused of a crime, if you're white, you get a few extra seconds, a little more consideration from at least the cops and the MPD than you do if you're black. And that has been proven out for the MPD. So, Bob, I hope that addresses some of your questions.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, Jura. And we want to get your good point. 651-989-9226. Marty and Easton, we see you. We'll get to you after the break next. Paul and Jordana, getting to your phone calls. Jura, one of the things I've noticed, especially with social media, the business model is not necessarily to inform. The business model with Twitter and things like YouTube and certainly Facebook is to keep you on their platform longer so they can monetize mm-hmm. you. They can serve up sure. more ads. They can make yeah. more money. What that usually means is to engage you, to make you angry, to mm-hmm. appeal to your visceral senses, right, your emotions.
Sure.
And so it's not all rainbows and unicorns. Your chances are you're going to stay on Twitter if you are engaged emotionally, if you're angry, if you're upset. So that's one of the things I've noticed. YouTube, it's you know, it can be really bad where you get pulled into the conspiracy theory well. So I've just noticed. Mm-hmm. And look, and traditional media, legacy media, warts and all, we have our challenges ahead of us,
sure.
but... You know, trying to stay informed, trying to, you know, develop good media habits, it's a challenge for everybody. Marty and Easton, you've been patient. What can we do better?
Hi, Marty.
Hey, good. First, I want to say how strange it is to be calling from the outer bands of a hurricane in southern Minnesota.
Yes.
Looking to the
yes.
west, you can see the lines of clouds and blue sky. It is surreal.
Yep.
That said, I had a couple of points. I loved that interview with, was it Jane was her name? She made some
Jane
wonderful
yeah,
points.
Yeah, Jane Curley.
I would like to add, from my perspective, again, being disabled, I see things different. Communication, so many online articles we see written by somebody, you might see an error or something you question. There's no telephone number or even email in many cases that we can reach out to inquire. And I know there are haters out there that have probably ruined it for the honest people trying to ask questions. But we need to have that communication, and that ties with, you know, like the police in her interview and reports being out in the field and making a connection with the community.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also wanted to make the point, especially with the internet, real-time reporting. I mean, WCCO, I'll preface that you guys are great. You know, growing up living with you guys, you've made some errors, but all in all, you're the good media. But even watching the world news, there have been countless segments where yesterday or today in California or today in Palestine, but we know because of the internet, this was 2 days or 3 days ago. They need to just say on Tuesday in California this happened and not try to make it sound like it's breaking news when it's something that's already happened, because that gives the appearance of trying to manipulate the truth.
Good
transparency.
Point.
So I hear yeah. you, Marty. Transparency that, you know, we found this here. Or this happened at this point. You know, I could not agree with you more. You know, it's funny mm-hmm. how, Paul, I wanted to mention, and Jody, we're you know what? Let's take Jody's call, and then
yeah.
I want to mention something about boots on the ground. Jody's in Eden Prairie. Thanks for the call, Jody. What's going on?
Hi. A couple things. You know, you're the best of anybody, so I'm not, you know.
But we're not. But we make mistakes.
Well,
we do. Lots.
I know. And you do. But. But I want unbiased. I don't want your opinion. I want the fact. And I think that the other thing I do, I just really can't stand, is when you guys start guessing what could happen. Supposition. Mm. That's not your job. And I think you guys kind of build up the drama by doing that. And I don't like dramatic news. I want honest news. There can be honest news that's dramatic, but sometimes you make it dramatic. And I mean, and I don't like that. And I, you know, I just, I think like one of the things you were saying in WCCO and all the stations were saying, it's a peaceful demonstration. What does that mean? A peaceful demonstration. And I think, you know, you can't put your personal, your opinion into it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. But now you do understand, though, that like on this show, that Paul and I are supposed to give an opinion, but the reporters that are reporting in the news are not, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
As long as we can make that distinction.
But I want unbiased. I just want facts. I don't want your take on it. I don't want what you think could, might, should, potentially, if this happens, that could happen. And that's, but all in all, you guys do a fabulous job. Thank you.
You're so nice, Jody. Thank you.
Thank you, Jody.
It's hard.
Appreciate
Paul.
you listening.
It's hard. And I do want to make that distinction. I know that Jody understands it, that that's what we do. We have news at the top and bottom of the hour, and they do an amazing job. We have news from 6 to 6:30 here. But you and I are supposed to sort of flesh things out and give an opinion, but that's only because we're not journalists anymore.
Right. Exactly.
We're just
what were you
going to
say?
Talk show host. I was going to say in Camden. So get this. I know I only have 30 seconds. In Camden, one of the jobs of the new police cadets is to go door to door in the district that they're going to be policing and introduce themselves to every resident and say, "How can we help you? What do you need?" And that's the kind of policing that has Camden completely revamping their city, and it's really awesome.
That's amazing. We talk to a Minneapolis councilman coming up next hour. Don't go anywhere.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.